Hoi, hier ben ik weer met een nieuwe aflevering van de podcast Avonturen van een Expat. Weer een aflevering met ervaringen en avonturen die ik met jou wil delen. Fijn dat je luistert. In deze aflevering heb ik een gesprek met Lydia. En in mijn nieuwsbrief van vorig jaar september 2023 vertel ik over haar. En Lydia heeft zelf gezegd van nou, ik wil mijn verhaal kwijt en ik wil daarmee anderen bemoedigen. Ik wil daarmee anderen een hart onder de riem steken. En we zijn overeengekomen dat ik haar mocht interviewen. En eigenlijk is zij hoofdzakelijk aan het woord. En in deze aflevering hoor je haar verhaal. Zij vertelt over haar ervaringen, wat zij heeft meegemaakt. En een belangrijk detail misschien, tijdens het schrijven van een nieuwsbrief, nieuwsbrief 24, gebeurde er ook iets opmerkelijks. En ook daarover hoor je in deze aflevering. Deze aflevering of de interview is in het Engels. En soms had ik ook even een blackout. Vergeef me voor het gebrekkige Engels af en toe. En even viel de verbinding weg, daarvoor ook verontschuldigingen, maar geniet ervan. Het is in het Engels dus, en ja, maar hopelijk levert dat niet zo heel veel problemen op. En anders hoor ik het graag in een reactie op deze podcast. Veel luisterplezier.
Oké, I'm really happy that you are in my podcast and you want to come here. And I'm very honored to have you here. Welcome, Lydia, in my podcast.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I must say I'm a little bit nervous, but we will handle it.
We will handle it. Don't worry about that. If we mess it up, we record it again. So don't worry, but this will be totally fine. So for the people who don't know you, can you briefly tell us who you are? What are you doing in daily life?
Well, my name is Lydia. I am 30 years old. Oh my God, I just changed my number. It's different to say it like this. And I'm a doctor. I practice dentistry.
Dentist. Okay, how is your job going at the moment?
Well, at the moment, it's getting better and better, especially because I had to stay home with my young kids. I have a two-year-old. And he's taking a lot of my energy. But now he's going to daycare, I can take care of my own business as well. So it's better.
That's wonderful.
Than it used to.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you really like to do your job. You really like to be a dentist.
I do. I actually feel like I'm at home in my own office.
Great.
I feel bad sometimes, like, don't tell my husband. But sometimes I feel better at work. I mean, because I like what I'm doing.
All right. Well, it's a good sign. It's definitely better than people who are talking like, oh, I'm so busy at work, I want to go home. So
No, really that good. Never happens. Maybe if I'm actually exhausted and I feel okay. I need my bed, but
right.
If I don't, then it's... My dream came true with this.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Lydia, many years ago I met you. It was about 2015.
Exactly.
Through your brother, actually, which was an interesting way of how I met you. But can you tell something about the situation? You were still studying then, 2015. What was your situation? What was your mental state? How were you living your life?
You know, it's like sometimes I just realized that my brother recommended you, and he even texted me, I think, the same day that he gave my number to some guy. He told me that he's from Holland, and we have many friends from Holland. It's curious why he was thinking about me, but I think he was worried, or maybe he was worried. My mental state was not very good, actually. I come from a Christian family. I grew up in my hometown in Turda for 19 years. I used to live there, and then I had to move to this other place to study. And my family was not actually strict or traditional or boring. We had fun together. We did all the family stuff, and they tried to do their best raising us, my parents, I mean. But you know how it is when you put a bird in a cage, or at least she feels in it's like she's in a cage, which was false. But I felt like that, and then I came in another town, like 200 kilometers away, and I had no supervision. I had no one to look after me, like tell me you are not allowed to do that, to do and stuff like that, and had no friends, had to make new friends, and these new friends were not from the church, so different lifestyles. And I was curious about other kind of lifestyles that I was not allowed to see how they were. And you know, one thing to led to another. And I started to see how the world is, and I don't know how to say exactly, like to taste the world. And I'm a very sensitive person, and I think that was the problem that got me. I think depressed and feeling very down all the time, like something was missing. Like I felt like I didn't belong, but I couldn't stop living the way I started to, and I was not happy. So many people from home, even my brother, I think, saw it, and they got worried, like this is not no way of living. And no one knew what to do, because you know, you are not, when you are in that situation, you are not listening to your family, because I don't know why we are not, but I wasn't. And I thought that they had that old thoughts that they are old
Right.
and they don't know life these days, and then they don't understand it. And I was so wrong. I was very wrong because they do understand it very well. And they did back then too, but I was very closed. I didn't want to let anyone. I don't know how to say this. I didn't want to let anyone decide things for me, but I was not in a very good place to decide them myself, like in a good way. So I think my brother just thought that I need someone from the outside who can be my friend and has Christian values, which I lacked. And that's how I found you. And I think you came just in the right time, at the right time.
Probably I had a sender who sent me somewhere in the right time in the
Yeah.
right place.
Yes,
So,
that's true.
yeah, you were telling not being happy, really closed, but also that saying like put a bird in a cage. Did you feel locked up, like you cannot really move?
As a person, I must say that I am curious about this world, and I don't mean sins. I mean, even in science, I'm curious why that functions like that, or why the heart pumps blood like it does. It's just an example. It's just that I'm a curious person, and I don't the problem my problem is that I don't learn the lesson like in other people, like I see in other people. I have to act on things to see how they are. So unfortunately I did act on many things that I wasn't supposed to. And That's why I felt like I mentioned this cage, because when I was living with my parents, of course I had rules. Like, you can't do that and that and that, but they were good rules. But at that point, I thought that they were just, they just didn't want to let me do stuff.
Right. You saw it from a different perspective,
Exactly.
and you are a person who are not really learning by teachings, but learning by doing. You have to find out
Exactly.
yourself.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, well, it can also have a good side, I think. And I think, in fact, life, we will find out life by doing and by experience. But definitely, yeah, we also need teaching. That is what I also believe. But okay, this is how you were like back then in 2015. And how did you deal with that, like the years after? Like, okay, you went to another town. And was there any progress like to 15, 2015 and the years after?
Well, I had ups and downs. I mean, there were good times because, as when you are raised in a Christian family, you have something like it's a like a fingerprint, you know, in your heart. Like, the word of God is in your heart, and in your mind, there's like something telling you, you're not doing good. That's not fine. That's not okay. Just stop doing that. And I choose not to listen, Matt, for all the time, almost, I must say. But at the same time, it didn't let me feel good. Something was there all the time telling me, you need to get on the right path. You need to go find the church. You need to move from the place you're staying. I stayed in dorms. It's a student's place, and it's not bad if you are okay, don't get me wrong, but if you are not okay and the place you are living in, it's not helping you, it's better to move. In my situation, it was better to move, and I didn't move. And all these situations made me go through university years. Like, thank God my career is doing all right, and I graduated when I had even very, very good grades, because I liked studying, and only God helped me go through that thing. But mentally and emotionally, it was very, very, very bad, because I was never okay. Like, I was always hiding things from my parents. Like, I have been living a double life, I might say. And of course, when you are doing this kind of life, it's not good on either part, like on either way.
And during this time, you knew this by yourself. Were you actually looking forward? Like, did you have a kind of dream? Like, okay, if I have this, then I would definitely be happy and enjoy my life if I would have that.
Well,
Or if,
yes.
yeah.
I wanted to find a church. I wanted to find a Christian group. And for example, I don't know if I ever told you, but I used to smoke. And well, I started doing that in university years. Many Christian friends from school, even colleagues that were meeting in churches and groups, saw me smoking and stuff like that. And no one actually paid attention to me, because they all of them thought that maybe I'm not even thinking about going to a church, and I will get angry with them for asking. I have no idea what they thought, but these are my thoughts right now. And I was scared to go to that kind of group because even in on the outside, I was showing bad behavior, and they didn't want to get near me or around me or be my friends. And you understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, well, surely there was no connection. You were with them, but there was no connection.
No connection, exactly. And this was my dream, to find a church, to find a group of Christian friends. But at the same time, I was doing stuff that they disliked. So I couldn't.
Yeah,
I.
is it what I also hear from other people many, many times, that you are mentioning Christian groups or the church is a real connection, what you are trying to find and what you are longing for, that someone really can see you, but
Exactly,
you are
like
still
not me.
safe.
I need someone at that point, like a person that saw me, the real me, not the person who was staying in the backyard of the university smoking, for example. Not that person who
I
saw the
understand.
real me.
I think that is, you really pointed it very, very well. And I think you are one of plenty people who have
Exactly,
this.
because you know what's our problem in general is that if we see someone, I don't know, drunk, we're saying, oh, that drunk, he has no future. But we don't look carefully to that person or talk to him or understand him. What's going on? Why are you drinking? Why are you sad? What's your, you understand? And I didn't have anyone at that moment. And my dreams in the career, in my career, came true. So that were not a problem. But I just needed people around me at that time, I guess, or at least one, two close friends.
I understand what you're saying, and I'm sure that many people who are listening, who they really recognize what you're saying. I'm pretty sure. So and okay, when you went on, there was 2017, and in that year you went on a camp.
I
What
tried,
happened?
like, during those 2 years, or to that camp, I think there were three since I started university. I went to church a few times. I tried. I didn't try hard enough, to be fair, but I didn't find a connection. But I sometimes think that I didn't, because I didn't actually want to. And during my childhood, and I was used to going to camps in the summer, and I started with Peniel when I was younger, and those were really, really, really nice camps. So this summer, I had a friend from Turda, who I kept in touch a little bit, and she told me, okay, this here is a camp in Bulls, from the Bible school, Christos Pentru România. She asked me to go together, and I said, okay, why not? It will be fun. It will be like a memory from my childhood. And I went, and there God touched me again, and talked to me and showed me how much he loved me, forgave me. And it was wonderful. But I only got to stay in that camp for 2 days, actually, because we had a pretty, pretty bad storm. And it was actually a very bad storm. It started around Sunday night, and it was like out of the blue. I don't even understand the physics behind it. I remember it was a very hot day, maybe that's why. And in the night when the preach started, suddenly the power went off and there was a huge wind and a heavy rain with stones, like glass stones. How do you call that?
Yeah, like the ice,
Ice.
stones of ice.
Ice stones. And the wind came all of the sudden and it just broke the tent in two. Like the tent was huge, like for 600 people, and it broke in two, and it had like the those heavy supports. So
Yeah, talking about the iron support, what holds the
exactly
tent?
what holds the tent. They were very heavy, like impossible to pull from the ground by yourself. And they were up in the air and they were hitting people. And I remember falling down. I have no idea how. I have no memory of that even for today. And I just remember getting up and saw there was screams and everyone was scared, crying. I saw people with blood on the face, hit by those metal things. Many people were injured. Even on the opposite road, there was another camp, and some people from there, from that camp, actually a man died. Many trees were came down by the wind on our tents, and it was a life and death experience for me. I mean, I don't even realize I ran to my tent. I don't even know how I arrived there because I remember running, but I don't remember getting there. Like, I don't remember the way. It's just that I feel like I was in that in the big tent. And like in 2 seconds, I was at my tent, and actually it was at least a 2 minutes walk. I'm fine. Nothing happened to me, or to my brother because he was there as well. But at that point, I realized that God had his hands on me again, and he. It was a very interesting experience. And I realized that life is it's not in our hands. Even if we worry, if we are sick or if we have problems or whatever, not we can do nothing is we can do anything about it. And I'm a doctor, and I'm saying this, but nothing is in our hands. Our future in it's in God's hands, and it was like I feel now that it was another invitation. That experience, it was another invitation to come back to where I was. Because I was like a prodigal son. And it was good for a while. It worked for a while to say it like this. And then it didn't.
And yeah, well, that is a really heavy experience. You told me the story before. I think if I remember well, there was even like that big iron support coming directly your direction. Did I remember well? What happened exactly? If you want to share.
I think that's the moment when I went, when I fell. I don't remember very good right now. It's good that I told you then. But I don't actually remember what happened to that at that point. To be honest, it has been many years, and sometimes I try not to think about it because at that point it
Sure.
was traumatic because I got scared. I was left with something actually from that situation is that every time there's a big storm outside, I'm scared. Yeah, that's my little trauma,
Yeah,
but it's fine.
you also can overcome that.
I know. I'm trying
Yeah.
every day, but with this
Yeah.
climate change, I think we'll see many other storms like that.
We might. Yeah. Wow. That's a really happy story. And thank you also for sharing this. So what actually you said that you learned from this story that God's hand is on you. Do you still see that? Is that still present in your life after so many years, or how is that?
Well, I told you that that was in 2017, and that worked. It's strange to call it like this because I don't want anyone to think that I'm underestimating God or I'm talking low about him or stuff like that. I just want to say it exactly how I feel it and to be very honest. But I didn't keep doing I didn't keep on God's path for very long, maybe a little bit after the storm, because I had to go back in the same environment at in dorms, the same friends, the same li lifestyle. Don't get me wrong, if they will ever listen to this, I love my friends very much. They are a big part of my life. I still keep in touch with all of them. It's different to have Christian friends, and this is what I want our listeners to understand. If someone is in this situation, it's not, don't get me wrong, if you are not Christian, you are not a bad friend. You are a wonderful friend. You are a wonderful person. You have values. You have good in you. You have peace. You have whatever you think, whatever you want. It's just that if you don't have God, it's useless. Nothing matters. And this is what I want them to understand, that my friends didn't have God at that moment. They still don't have him now. I pray to God that one day they will. And that's the point. You are good. Okay, you are good like a human being. But if you are good without God, it's useless. And having God in your life changes everything, changes the way you speak, changes the way you think, the way you see life, the way you see people, just a simple example, you're listening to music. Your music, when you love God and you have God in your life, trust me, I used to love, I have no idea, many weird, because I like weird things. I really like weird things. And I don't know, Billie Eilish, for example. I used to like her music, but listening to her music is bad because it's not from God. And when you are with God, you can't listen. You don't want, there's something inside you that doesn't let you. I don't know how to explain. I don't want to feel like someone to say, oh, this girl is rigid, or believe me, I'm not at all. I'm very open and I like stuff. And it's just that I don't want to now because there is very good Christian music. Very good. There is rap, there is hip hop, there is whatever you like. It's just the message that matters.
Yeah, is it the
And
spirit behind the music?
exactly. And this is just a simple explanation, like example, sorry. Going back to that time, I had to go back to the same things. So that flame that I got in the camp, and after that experience, was another invitation, but it was one that I closed very soon after I got back in the same place. And I continued with my life and had many bad experiences on my in my personal life. And things went on like that for a while.
Yeah,
And
so
there was, yeah,
yeah,
sorry.
no, you are actually saying the environment, what you went back was actually the same. So that was the hard thing to, that was the thing what made it hard to continue in that fire what you got from God. So
Yes.
it the invitation is great and important, but the environment is also a very important issue.
Yes. This is the problem I think we as Christians we struggle the most, because we have that invitation, we have that fire, we have that those moments, but what's very difficult is to keep being on the line.
Right.
Because I mean, I know God is right here with me, listening to this interview as well. I know He is. But maybe I'm not in the flame right now, for example, but I learn, and it took me some time. So don't be scared that you won't. But for me, it took me some time to understand that being a Christian doesn't mean being in a flame all the time.
Right.
It means that you have to learn day by day to see God in everything. Like I'm going to the hospital now, and I don't know, see God in my patients, in my
Yeah.
work, in my colleagues, if I can, in everything. And talking to him permanently in your mind, in your prayers.
Yeah.
But it took me some time. It took me a very long 10 years, actually.
You are not the only one, I think. Well, for sure, for sure. Yeah, this is a big lesson for all of us. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. So I want to make a little bit a jump from what you have told us towards September 23, 2023. I wrote my newsletter at that time, and while I was writing and sending a newsletter to the people, something happened. Can you tell briefly what happened with you?
So after the thing in a camp, it went like a downhill. I don't know how to say it. Like if I had some thoughts that I'm doing something wrong, suddenly my mind was blank. Like I started to live my life. Like it was okay, everything I was doing. I got used to it like this. I still didn't go to church. I was living a very, very normal life. I graduated university. I got married. I had a kid. I had to stay home with him for 2 years because this is the maternity leave in Romania. And I was sort of also exhausted because being a mom is actually taking a lot of time. And if someone, moms really know what I'm talking about, I don't have to describe it or explain it. So I was living my everyday life with all the things, had no worries, had nothing. And actually, before September, I started to have pain in my abdomen in February. Actually, no, in January, something like that. And I couldn't eat anything. And I had the gallbladder stones, and I had to take them out. So that was my first surgery. Actually, there was only one surgery, so that was my only surgery I had in February of 2023. And also pretty weird because I was young. Usually, gallbladder stones are found in people over 40, stuff like this, not actually young persons. But I went off with my life. I didn't think too much of it. I don't even remember praying for it. So, and my life went on like that. And on September, it was actually one Thursday, I was working in my dental office. And when I finished work that day, I took my mask off and I felt like something was wrong in my cheek. Like my cheek was feeling very weird. And I told myself, okay, it's nothing, it's just from the mask because I wore it all day. And it's just from it. And I went home, I slept. Fortunately, my kid was at my parents'. So it was only me and my husband at home. Next day, I had to visit a friend and I was feeling very, very tired. Also, my neck started to feel numb and I couldn't move it, like it was rigid. And the numbness progressed to my hand, like in that evening. And I didn't think much of it. I thought, okay, I just have some problems. I don't know. I'm not sleeping well. I didn't realize what was happening. And I remember on that week, on Sunday, we had to go back to my parents to get my kid. And on Saturday, I woke up and I told myself, okay, now I'm gonna get the house ready for him. And I started cleaning and doing housework. I suddenly got very scared that something very bad is happening to me. I was at home alone and I called my mom and I told her, have you ever felt numb in your leg, in your, and I just didn't want to acknowledge or to understand that it was a very serious illness. I knew what it was, but I told myself, it can't happen to me. I am so young. This happens only in very old people with heart problems, with blood problems and stuff like that. And I told myself, no, it's nothing. And I even asked one of my cousins who's doctor at the same place we are working. And he told me, okay, just go there. We are colleagues. No worries, just get investigated. Of course, you're not having a stroke because it's about a stroke.
Yes, yeah.
It's impossible to have a stroke. That's what he told me. And I started to feel very bad physically, like dizzy. And I told myself, okay, I'm gonna just go to the hospital myself, and I got in a cab, and I don't know, even in a cab I thought I was going to die. That's how bad I felt, because I felt like the world is spinning with me in it. And when I got to the hospital, they looked at me, they asked me what's my problem, had a CT scan, And they didn't see anything on a CT scan in the beginning, but they told me that I have to be admitted because they don't know exactly what this is. It might be a transitory stroke or maybe some pain in my neck. I'm sorry, I know the medical terms in Romanian and in just in
That's
English, it's the problem.
okay. That's okay.
And they want to do an MRI. And I said okay, even though I wasn't very happy about it, but I was just very happy that my kid was at my parents, so I wasn't worried about him. And I said okay, let's. I got admitted in neurology section. And on next Monday, I had an MRI, and they found a lesion. Unfortunately, it was very, very small, like the smallest possible. And that lesion that very was in a very dangerous place, and they told me that if I in a, it was like 1 centimeter away from that place that it was, I would be forever paralyzed
Wow.
on my left side because my left side was affected. And yeah, I have a stroke.
Wow.
I had a stroke. And of course, in the beginning, I was shocked because I didn't expect it. Because I'm young, I didn't know I had a problem. They did many invest many they looked for a cause but find none in the hospital. I have no heart problems, no nothing. And in the beginning I was very dumb. And yeah.
Unfortunately, the connection broke a little, so I missed your last words. I'm sorry, but you were telling about the research and that they found out that you had a stroke and they didn't really find the source, like
Yeah,
why?
they why? And I left the hospital for the next week, and I was very sad, very, very sad because I didn't understand why something like this is happening to me. And I knew that there is a very big possibility in the future to have another one because I'm more exposed to the problem now. And I knew that it's in a matter of days if something bigger is going to happen. That's why they keep you in the hospital
Okay.
to pay attention to that because the first week is crucial. And yeah, no, nothing happened. Thank God,
Okay.
till this day, I'm good. But mentally and emotionally, it was awful. It was worse than the moment in the camp because it was something that's happening personally to me. And not to a whole group of people, but exactly to me. And at that moment, I realized, like, that was the moment I realized that everything that happened, even the surgery before, were all warnings. I don't know if I'm right saying this, but they are all warnings. And it was difficult, but I saw them, or I see them now, as an act of love from God, because he wanted me back, and I didn't listen in a very easy and happy way, so I got the hard way, unfortunately. And I had to leave this situation. And of course, what scares me the most is not actually dying, At that moment, dying scared me because I knew I wasn't going to heaven.
Oh, okay.
But dying is not scary now if I'm thinking about it. It's just leaving my child.
Right.
But being a mother makes the world now different. It's not, I'm not just myself now. It's just I have to look after my child as well, and he's too young.
But in fact, dying doesn't really make you scared anymore.
No. I know what where I'm going. I can't wait in a way to go. It's just that I want to see my child grow up.
Which mother doesn't want to?
Yes.
That speaks only about mother love. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's wonderful. Wow, this is really deep. And as you are saying, life is not in our hands. Anything can happen. But if you want to make a kind of conclusion or closing, what how
Well,
are you
if
today,
we
and what could be your conclusion?
a conclusion, we can talk about 4 more hours about
Oh, okay.
that.
Well, we make another episode.
Well, like I have an advice, if I can say it like this for our listeners. You know, God gives you many opportunities, nice ones, sending people like you in their lives.
Thank
I
you.
don't know. In many ways, listen to them because they are acts of love. See, we have to see every challenge we have in our life like an act of love. Not all challenges come from God. We must know this, but God allows them all for our own good. And maybe even this didn't come from God. I don't know. But I know God was there and made the situation as small as it could be. Even the doctor told me, this is the smallest lesion you could have. There's nothing else. And I know that was God. And I must say that you don't have to go through all these steps like I did to know where you belong and to act on it. Just if you feel that God is calling you to go back home and he really wants you home, believe me, he will take you there however he wants, even if it's going to be the worst challenge of your life. And you can, I believe that you can avoid that. And I believe I could have avoided. If I was listening and I kept listening in 2017, in 2018, because God spoke to me every time he had an opportunity, I think, or every time I opened my heart to listen. And I didn't. And now I am listening, and now I have I realize that it's very important to have a daily routine, if I can say like this, with the Lord. Reading the Bible, it's very important. I started reading from January. I want to read the I have an app called
Wonderful.
Reading the Bible in the Whole Year. And
Wonderful.
I realize that God speaks through His Word a lot, a lot. You don't have to look for the flame. The flame is there sometimes just to make you more full of His love, of His power, of His hope. And that's good. We need that too, but we don't have to live in that. We have to live in His Word, in His people, in His church. I still struggle going to a church because my husband is not a Christian and he it's difficult in this area. So with the church, there's still a struggle. And also it's a struggle because having a very small kid, it's very difficult to go with him. I have to. I know I have to, and I pray that God finds a way and melts my husband's heart somehow to understand how important it is to take our child and grow him in a moral and Christian way, because this world is very bad. I see very bad things all the day, and I feel blessed, and I thank my parents very much for raising me like this and helping me find God.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, if God is calling you so many times that he really insists you to come back, why shouldn't he find a place for you, like a
Yes.
church or a group or people? And as you said, not that other people are bad people, no. But it is a same-spirited group, let's say, where you feel that deep life connection with
Yeah.
from the same God where life is coming from. So I am pretty sure you will find that too. So
Yes.
yeah, that's wonderful. And well, we are coming to an end. As you said, there is much more to say, and we can fill another 4 hours. But let's not do it now.
Yeah.
I really want to thank you for being in my podcast and have this interview, and I am really honored. Thank you so much, and I definitely can say as a conclusion that I see a different Lygia than what is it,
Thank
nine
you.
years ago. So that's absolutely wonderful. You made a wonderful progress. And
Thank you. Thank you very much.
we are all still in progress, and it only will be better. And yeah, that is what we're going for, with God's help. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for inviting me as well.
Vond je het leuk om te luisteren? Laat dan even een reactie achter per e-mail of via de website. Leuk dat je er weer was. Stuur ook eens een vraag in die jij graag van mij beantwoord zou willen hebben. En wie weet, hoor je die de volgende aflevering in de podcast. Tot de volgende keer.